Good morning. I don't know about you, but when I was your age, I had a lot of friends who, if something went wrong, they would complain a lot about it. They would just complain and kind of groan, and I don't want to do this. But I had other friends who would say, it's going to be okay, and they might even ask for help with doing that new thing, like, you have to do all the dishes tonight all by yourself, and that kind of thing. Did you ever have to do that? Not yet. It's coming. It's coming someday. Yeah. And let me just ask, which kind of person would you rather be? One who just complains or one who maybe asks for help? Maybe asks for help? Yeah. And God invites us to pray to him. And if you want to, when you pray, you could just complain about stuff. Or what God wants us really to do is to ask for help. Ask for his help. And sometimes things in life get tough. You might get sick, or you might be sad. A while ago, I lost a pet. Our goldfish called Mrs. Pickle died. And so we have new goldfish now, but there, sometimes things are kind of sad. And that's a weird name, isn't it? I didn't name it, but anyway. But God wants us to ask for his help. And so he tells us, ask for my help, and I will hear you, and I will help you, and it's going to be okay. Let's pray about that. Can you fold your hands? Lord, help us to remember that you do tell us to pray, and if we want to tell you that something is wrong in our life, to go ahead and say that, but not only to complain, but also to ask for your help, because you promise that you will help us, you will be with us. You tell us in your word it's going to be all right, because you are our God and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The word of God for meditation this morning is from the Old Testament book of Lamentations, portions of chapter 3. This morning we are reading from my own translation. You have made us scum and refuse among the peoples. All our enemies rage against us. Panic and the pit have come, devastation and destruction. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. This is the word of the Lord. In my mind, I call this time of the year the beginning of catechism season, because that's the class that I teach. And my class is this week memorizing the 66 books of the Bible. In fact, if they remember, they have a test on Wednesday on writing out all 66 of those books. Last week we worked on seeing that there are groups easily kind of compartmentalized. In the Old Testament, it's often five books, three books, three books, three books, five books, five books, and the minor prophets. And in the New Testament, if you can run out all the way from Matthew to, say, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, after that, it's really easy, because then it's simply Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and if you forget the order, I teach the acronym Grandma Eats Purple Crayons. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Then it's the five T's that are shorter in words as you get there. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Then there's a bad joke. Is there coffee in heaven? Well, Philemon, Hebrews. And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, you're done. There's 1 James, 2 Peters, 3 Johns. Jude has 4 letters. And Revelation, you're done. And we end with jazz hands. So hopefully they'll be able to tear it. It helps them navigate through their Bible. And helps them to learn ways of memorizing, which they're going to need to do for the rest of their lives. This book is in the middle of the major prophets, but Isaiah, Jeremiah are major prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel are major prophets, but really Lamentations here in the middle is more of a couple of poems about how bad things are. A classmate of mine calls it the country and western song of the Old Testament. My life is really bad today, and you know, it goes on like that. And But it is prophetic in many ways, and in the way we're going to, and it's written by one of the prophets, probably by Jeremiah. But this book is really about the exile, and excuse me, about the people who were in the Babylonian exile. And all through the book, there are three crosses before our eyes. The first cross is the cross, the burden of the exiles themselves. That's in the language of all of the chapters. The second cross is the one we want to keep before our eyes at all times, the cross of Christ who redeemed us from our sins. But the third one is also how we respond to Jesus' suffering, and we're able to use the language of this book of Lamentations because it's the cross of the Christian, the cross that we have, how we respond to the cross of Christ, which is the cross of our shame and his pain. And this book helps us to put that cross or those crosses into perspective. Some people carry more than one of them. But we begin with the first cross of Lamentations, the cross of the exiles. For 400 years, from Solomon's long reign to the quick, sharp staccato months of the last kings of Judah many years later, the people of God wasted whole generations chasing and exploring a kind of a religion or spirituality that was apart from the faith that Moses had taught. As Jeremiah says, they followed worthless idols, and so they became worthless themselves. Their sinfulness, their dabbling and experimentation with false religions, their personal choices that took them to religions that made them, I don't know, feel better about themselves. It meant that in order to call them back to repentance, God had to make them see just how close they were to going to hell. When we pass along our faith to our children, let me rephrase that. When we fail to pass our faith along to our children, what will happen to their faith? If no seed is sown, what will grow? We will have killed the souls of our children and of their children and of their children. When people let their children decide whether they're going to be Christian and learn about Jesus or even get baptized or join a church and yet never even get told what our church teaches, will they choose the hard path? Will they choose right doctrine and scriptural purity and salvation by Christ alone and nothing but Christ alone? Won't they rather choose a religion, if they choose one at all, that pretends to let them make whatever choices they want to make, that pretends that to do good works gives their souls credit in some way, or pretends to let them live a more open and modern lifestyle? They will choose whatever seems easier, because they're human. Just as an infant who is not made to breathe when it's born will not choose to breathe on her own sake when she is born. No, she will make no choice at all. And forgive me, but what result will that have? This is why we point our children and ourselves to the cross of Christ, the second cross in this book of Lamentations, to remember just what was done there. The reason for the cross on which Christ was crucified was to pay the penalty, the price of mankind's sins. Each of our sins, every single one of our sins, was laid on him so that he became, in the language here of Jeremiah, the refuse and scum among the peoples. His enemies raged against him. He called to the Father from the depth of the pit. And what answer did he receive? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what did the Father have to do? He had to give no answer. He had to let Jesus die. We might think of our sins as being big sins or small sins, but sins all have the same price, which is damnation in hell. That's the price. Hell alone. Does somebody have discontent with what he has? That's that a sin against the ninth and ten commandments is a sin. And the penalty is hell alone. Or somebody struggles with the eighth commandment, they tell a white lie. Well, that's a sin, and it's punished by hell alone. Somebody sins against the sixth commandment, a little look at a naked picture for a thrill, or a chapter of some racy novel, or a TV show that applauds promiscuousness, or elevates divorce as the best and easiest answer. That's a sin. It's punished by hell alone. Or what if someone places a gun or a knife or drugs or the fentanyl from his hip surgery into the reach, easy reach of someone who doesn't think the way he does, somebody who is a different human being and someone who might die from using that thing? Is that only a mistake? It is a sin against the fifth commandment, and it is punished by hell alone. It's a sin for which Jesus paid the price, the whole price, by suffering all of hell on the cross in our place. His suffering led to his death, not his inconvenience, not his vacation, not his time out, but rather his death. The whole purpose for the Son of God coming into the world, for his incarnation as Jesus Christ, was first of all to display God's glory in saving us, and second, to accomplish that salvation through the Spirit and the body and the work and the suffering of the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. This is why at his birth the angels sang on the one hand, glory to God in the highest, and on the other hand, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all mankind. He came on account of our sinful problem, this mess of death and death and no way out that sin brought on. Rivers of tears, our text says, rivers of tears flow from my eyes because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. This is, I believe, paraphrased by our Savior as he was carrying his cross through the streets of Jerusalem. The last words spoken by Christ prior to his crucifixion. This is the compassion of God, his stomach churning and agonizing with pity and sympathy for what sin did, as our Romans text says, to his creation and his creatures. And so he rescued us, like pulling drowning sailors and mariners into a lifeboat, and now having saved us by what would have been punishment and torture and agony and hell, he also gives us even more. He gives us comfort. The same way that a person rescued from drowning is not just left there in the thwarts against the gunwale, but is given a warm blanket and a drink of cold water and dry clothes and encouragement. It's going to be all right. And that's what God tells us. That's what his answer is to the third cross, the cross of the Christian, that we carry every day of our lives. This is actually the first cross mentioned in the Bible when Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, then let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. That's Mark chapter 8, which was many, many months, almost a whole year before Jesus' own crucifixion. The cross of the Christian does not accomplish what the Lord's suffering accomplished. Jesus on his cross paid the penalty for our sins. We who carry the burden of a cross carry it simply because we follow him. Think of this cross as that the terrible burden of suffering, and we begin to understand that we don't like to suffer. We don't want to bear this burden because it's going to hurt. And we want to make adjustments to this heavy load. We want to shift the weight and make corrections. But the burdens we bear are not the kind of things that can easily be adjusted or corrected or shifted. The world will simply go on hating us because the world hates Christ. Whatever we suffer as a result of our connection to Christ is a cross we bear, whatever it may be. Whatever we suffer because we follow him is our cross. We deny ourselves and we trust in Jesus, and we might be oppressed or challenged by the devil himself. But Jeremiah's words in our Lamentations text come as unexpected comfort here, because he says, you came near when I called you and you said, do not fear. This is God's way of telling us it's going to be all right. We have many fears about the crosses that we are going to be carrying in our lifetime. One of those fears is maybe one that I had as a child. Maybe you've never had it, but I used to think, is God just preparing me with this trouble for a bigger one later on? Are we frightened that they will become worse and worse and worse, that they will become so unthinkable that we will somehow not be able to stand up under them, not be able to carry them? But our Lord says, do not fear. It's going to be all right. Whatever burdens we carry on account of Jesus are also a way we have to thank him, to show our faith in him. And he loves that because he loves us. And the crosses that we carry, fear, oppression, pain, opposition, helplessness, abuse, and suffering, and dying, and loss, and grieving, that there is a whole rack of crosses lined up ominously for us in our future. But it's going to be all right. Our Lord says, I am with you. He will help us to shoulder the burden of this cross, that it'll be all right. All of our guilt and the consequences of our sinfulness were obliterated, destroyed on Jesus' cross. And we are lifted up to serve him. Whatever crosses we bear them to give God glory and to show the world that this one who carries this particular cross bears it in the name of Jesus Christ and has the promise of everlasting life. Amen. And I would also like to share this stewardship message with us today, for you and for me as well, from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.